Okay, good morning. Good night of Shabbos. Welcome back. We're continuing with the Maharal. There should be sheets, you know, flying around somewhere. If there's extra, yeah, right there, Daniel, you're good. If anyone else needs sheets, there's some over here. So we are picking up with Parshas Vayera. Very fundamental, I think very, very gorgeous, beautiful on the first page, Maharal. And then two that are going to be easier to take home. Also deep messages, but easier to take home. We're going to stay in the Gur Aryeh today. We often start with the Gur Aryeh, and we usually transition into other Svarim of the Maharal. But today I think we're going to stay predominantly, majorly inside of the Gur Aryeh itself. So let's start with the first pasuk in the Parsha. Vayera ilav Hashem be'elonei mamrei v'hu yoshev pesach ha'oel kechom hayom. So Avraham Avinu was sitting after his bris milah outside of his tent. We know Rashi tells us from Chazal that he's awaiting, he's looking for guests that he could take care of, that he could do a chesed for. It's an interesting point to make. We're not talking about this now, but l'chora, one would think, you know, ostensibly, that the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim in general, Hachnasas Orchim in particular, Tztaka, things like that, that are Ben Amnul Chavero, they depend on whether there's someone who needs the Tztaka. So if someone asks you for Tztaka, you have a mitzvah to give. If someone needs a meal, you have a mitzvah to invite them over and have them for a meal. But you don't have to go out of your way searching to find people to do Chesed to. Like, where does that come from? What concept is Avraham Avinu teaching us here? They have to go out of your way to search. There weren't any poor people. There weren't any people who needed a meal. There weren't any visitors. So what's he outside waiting for visitors for? So that's something to work on. Different mafarshim have different approaches to that. But here Rashi comments, the pasuk says Yoshev Pesach Ha'oel, but it's spelled with Yud Shin Beis as opposed to Malay with a Vav. It's spelled Yoshev without a Vav. Yoshev, it writes, but Yashav Ksiv. Yashav is past tense. So we won't get into the details now grammatically, but basically if you look at the Mefarshei Rashi, the Siftei Chacham, and the Gur Aryeh, Yashav and Yoshev, if you put it together and you're trying to say sitting presently, but you're saying it in a written way as past tense, then what you're trying to convey is that something happened that made him sit down. Okay, the other possibility is that maybe it's written not as Yashav, but as Yushav, that he was sat down. Someone sat him down. So what does this all mean? Rashi tells us, Yashav Ksiv, Bikesh Lamod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and what did he want to do? He wanted to stand up. Makes sense. We stand up out of respect for someone who walks in the room. Bikesh Lamod. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shave. Sit down. Va'ani Emod. I'm going to stand. You sit, I'll stand. Already strange. What's going on over here? Rashi continues. Ata Sim Levanecha, meaning you will be. This interaction we're having will be a Sim Levanecha, sign for the future. She'asid in the future, ani le'siyase ba'adas hadayanim ve'hin yoshin. What's going to happen? The Jewish people, your descendants, are going to have dayanim. They're going to have judges who judge cases. They're going to sit as a basin around the table, and they're going to judge the people who come before them. And I am going to stand in their presence. While they sit, I'm going to stand. Just like right now, you're sitting and I'm standing. So too, down the line, your descendants are going to have dayanim. They're going to have judges. And I'm going to stand while they sit and judge the cases. Very cryptic what's going on over here. Shneemar, Elokim Nitzav Adas Kel. We say this one of the days of the week, no? What do we say, Tuesday or something? I think it's one of the Shir Shel Yom. Say Elokim Nitzav Adas Kel. Huh? It is, right? So we say Elokim Nitzav Adas Kel. It's a Pasuk in Tilim. The Pasuk tells us that Elokim Nitzav, Hashem stands, Be'adas Kel, in the congregation that's God's congregation, meaning the judges who are sitting in judgment. In a courtroom, Hashem stands in their presence. Okay, what is going on over here? So Avraham Avinu wants to stand up. Hashem says, sit down. And he says, this is a siman to the future that you're going to have judges who sit and I'm going to stand in their presence. But what's the connection between the two things? Why is it happening now? What is going on over here? So the Maharal comments you have in source number one, right after the Rashi, the Gur Aryeh, and Os Zayin. The Maharal first comments, he offers two answers. The first one is as follows, in the bold. So he asks, why is this coming now? Why are we telling this idea now? Mipnei ki mitzvas hamila gorem she'ashchina im Yisrael. When people do a bris mila, that causes that the divine presence is shoreh, it rests on the Klal Yisrael. The Shechina comes, the divine presence comes to us when we do a bris mila. Okay. Why? Because a bris is a chibur, it's a connection between us and Hashem, so Hashem comes to visit by the bris. Okay. The Yesh Bezeh, the second line, davar nifla, lama kadosh baruch hu nitzavim dayanim, all that explains is why Hashem came. Because Avram just did a bris mila. Doesn't explain why Hashem stood and everyone else and Avram was sitting, right? Doesn't explain that. So Maharal says, no, that makes sense too. Lefisha ein kan yeshiva shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam hazeh ha'shafel ulefikach hu omid. What does yeshiva mean? Sitting, correct? What else does yeshiva mean?
Presence.
Dwelling, excellent, dwelling, right? Yoshev can mean to sit, literally. It could also mean to settle or to dwell in the land. Yeah, by Yeshev Yaakov, good. So yeshuvim in Eretz Yisrael are the settlements, correct? Yeshuvim. So yeshiva means to sit, and it means to settle. It means to dwell. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't sit in this world. Kiviyachol, all of this is only as it were. Why? Because this is not his place. His world, so to speak, is not in Olam Hazeh. It's in a different reality. So Hashem, when he visits his Shechina upon Avraham Avinu, he's not going to sit down. He's not going to enjoy himself and settle and dwell and settle in to Olam Hazeh. It's not his place. He's out of his comfort zone, so to speak. Rather, he's going to stand, kiviyachol. A person stands when they're on the go or on the way. A person who stands in the back of the room, it's because he wants to get out quickly, right? He doesn't sit down and settle in because he's not making himself comfortable in that makom, in that place. So here too, Hashem comes because of the bris mila, but he's not going to settle in. He's not going to sit down. He's not going to take a seat. He's going to stand. He's ready to leave at any moment. This is not exactly his place. But that's what the Maharal tells us over here. He says, and it shows ahava, it shows love, affection that Hashem has for Avraham Avinu, v'chol bris bein shnei ovim, the bold, at the end of this first paragraph of the Maharal. Anytime you have a covenant, a relationship of love between two people, sha'oiv mara ahava kasher hu bala makom shama havo, it's a sign of affection that you come to visit someone, and ve'eino makbidim ovo yoshiv mokom vo omeid. If you love each other, even if I'm more chashuv than you, you're more chashuv than me, we don't care who stands and sits. We're visiting each other, we're happy to be in each other's presence. Doesn't matter if you're sitting, doesn't matter if you're standing. Okay, a beautiful idea from the Maharal. What the Maharal doesn't really answer, though, and we're going to deal with this in the second answer, what he doesn't answer is, this is very nice, bris mila brings the Shechina. The Shechina comes and Hashem comes, but he can't sit down because it's not his place. But out of love, he doesn't care. He's happy to stand in the person's presence. What doesn't it answer? What else did the Rashi tell us? There's some connection exactly between the Dayanim, the judges, and this whole occurrence. Well, this didn't really deal with that. So why in this context does Hashem say to Avraham Avinu, I'm going to give you Dayanim, judges in the future, we're going to sit while I stand in their presence? What does that have to do with anything going on over here? So now let's read the shorter paragraph in the Maharal. It starts with the underline, V'ish Lefaresh, and pay attention, we're going to break it down into two parts. We're just going to start by reading the first few words, then we're going to explain it, then we're going to finish it. V'ish Lefaresh, another explanation. Gamkein. Mipnei sheha mishpat lelo kimhu. Pause. The pasuk tells us that mishpat lelo kimhu, which means judgment, divine, real judgment, real judging of a case, real mishpat, is only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only Hashem is really the judge who shofet kol ha'aretz. Only Hashem is the one who owns judgment. What in the world does that statement of the pasuk mean? So if you look in the next source, Nesivas Olam, in the Nesiv HaDin, in the very beginning, the Maharal, I cut out for you a paragraph that's not the first paragraph, but it's a good summary of the first paragraph. He quotes the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, which says in Daf Zayin, that Kol Dayin Shadan Din Emes Lamito Mashra Shechina B'Yisrael. Anyone who does a good din, a dayin, who judges appropriately, who judges honestly, who judges correctly, so the Shechina comes to such a person. The Shechina comes to the presence of such a person. I believe we spoke about this back in Parshas Shoftim in a different context, about the fact that if someone... We spoke about the connection between Avodah Zarah and Mishpat, you can look there. But here, the Gemara does say that a person who does a dayin and does a good job in a judgment, the Shechina comes and rests by him. Good so far? How do we know that? The Pasuk, the Gemara quotes, is Mishpat is Elokim Nitzav V'Adas Kel. That when a person does Adas Kel, he does the judgment properly, Elokim Nitzav, Hashem comes and visits his Shechina upon those judges. Okay. Says the Maharal, what's this about? What does it mean that judgment has to do with Hashem, that if we do Mishpat properly, Hashem comes? Mishpat Elokim Hu, that all of judgment really belongs to Hashem? So the Maharal says, unbelievable. He says, what is Mishpat? Mishpat means justice, correct? What is justice? How would you define justice? The way things should be? Or really, more accurately, the way the things need to be. Some things are ma'avel mishpat. Some things ruin justice. They pervert justice. But the way things need to be, the mechuyav hametzias, the way things need to be in this world, are just. Mishpat is necessary. It's what reality should be and what reality necessarily must be. Mishpat means things as they need to be. Says the Maharal, is unbelievable. Who is the ultimate mechuyav? Who is the only person... Obviously not person, really. Who's the only being that needs to be? The Ribono Shalom. Everyone else and everything else exists through the Ribono Shalom, but he's the Mamzi, he's the creator, he's the Nimtza, he's all of creation. He is the only entity that's Mechuyav HaMetzias, that must be. And if he wouldn't be, the Rambam tells us in the Yigim Ikrim, everything would cease to exist. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol stopped existing, the whole world would cease to exist. Hashem is the ultimate must be. He's the ultimate mechuyav hametzias. He's the only thing that's necessary, that's absolute in this world. Mishpat lelo kimhu, says the Maharal. Mishpat, judgment, which provides justice in this world, Justice is for Hashem, because justice needs to be, and Hashem needs to be. Everything else, you know, is negotiable. Everything else could exist, could not exist, things would exist without them. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu must exist for everything to exist. And justice is as things need to be, and so they're similar in that way. They're related in that way. Mishpat le'elokim hu. If you look in the underline here in this paragraph, ki ha-mishpat b'chiyuv hechrechi v'Hashem yizbaruch hu m'chuyuv ha-metzias. Mishpat is what must be, and Hashem is what must be, definitively, in this world. So mishpat is always le'elokim hu. In fact, if you look in the indented paragraph over here, Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner notes, we're not going to talk about the context now, although it's very important, very fundamental in the Maharal and in Rav Huttner in general. But Rav Huttner does note that the reason, one of the reasons why, he gives a little bit of a more technical spin on it, but it's still important. One of the reasons why we can't judge cases officially, judgment doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Hashem, is because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is all everything, knows everything, sees everything, can fully judge any case. How could any person judge another person? You can't possibly understand the entire situation. So Hashem makes us a shliach. He makes us an agent. And he says, Mishpat le'elokim hu, it's really mine to be the judge. Shofet kol ha'aretz. Only someone, something that can see the entirety of existence can actually be a judge. But I'll have you, I'll allow you, I'm giving you the gift of mishpat that you can do it on my behalf. But obviously, mishpat le'elokim hu, even though we do it, we perceive ourselves as dayanim, as judges, we're just doing the bidding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're just the agents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu employs to do the mishpat. But really, mishpat le'elokim hu, really all of judgment belongs to Hashem. So let's go back to our Maharal. Again, source number one, towards the top of the page, the Gur Arya, the second paragraph where it starts with an underline. We said, V'yesh lefaresh gam kein, mipnei sha mishpat le'elokim hu. Judgment really belongs to Hashem. Dayanim, judges, are going to do judgment, but they're just shlichim, they're just agents. Mishpat is le'elokim hu, because mishpat means what must be, and Hashem is what must be, so only Hashem could really be the judge. Good? That's the background. We're good so far? Okay. Says the Maharal like this. Umasar ha-mishpat la-dayanim. What does that mean? Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can be the judge, masar ha-mishpat le-dayanim. He gave it over as like a present to the Jewish people as dayanim. Va-mishpat birshus ha-dayanim l'hayim min al-hasmil. And now it's on the judges. They have the opportunity and the responsibility to judge the cases. They can go either direction. Im kein ke'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol tole b'dayanim. As such, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took something that belongs only his domain, mishpat. Only I could really be the judge, says Hashem, but I'm giving that to you. I'm giving that to the Jewish people. You can be the judges now. He passed along that opportunity, that responsibility, that achrayas, that mitzvah of judgment to us. And therefore, in a way, he's giving over his prerogative, what's his domain, to us to now control, which means on some level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I rely on you now. This is my mishpat that I'm giving to you. I rely on you to get the judgment right. It's up to you to now judge the cases. Shari mishpato biyada. My justice is now in your hands. Umishu tola ba'acher yesh lo lamod. When a boss and an employee are in a room together, who stands and who sits? The boss sits and the employee stands until he's told to take a seat. Because the employee looks to the boss. Einav tluyos bo. His eyes are looking at him. He's dependent upon the boss to charge him with what he's supposed to do, to give him his paycheck. He looks to the boss as the boss. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, of course I'm the boss, ultimately. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs the world. And of course, mishpat le'elokim hu. But here I am giving you the mishpat. I'm giving you the opportunity to judge. And therefore, now that I give it to you, now that I'm handing it over to you, it's on you to decide what's mishpat, what's justice, to decide cases. Now, in a sense, I rely on you. In this realm of Toras Hadin, of Choshen Mishpat, of judgment, of justice, you're the boss, B'nai Yisrael. You, the judges, are the ones who are the bosses, and therefore Hashem comes and says, I'm going to nitzav ba'adas kel. When the judges are sitting in judgment, they're going to sit, because they're in charge. They're the ones who are running the show. Ve'elokim nitzav ba'adas kel. And I'm going to stand, and I'm going to be there present with them, but I'm going to be standing because I'm really looking to them. I'm going to look to them, because they're the ones who are really in charge of the judgment now, because I gave it over to them. So Hashem is nitzav ba'adas kel. Amazing. Amazing. Now still, we still have one question. What do we still want to know? Now we understand why Hashem stands specifically in judgment. Because when the Jews are judging, when the Dayanim are judging, they're doing the mishpat of Hashem, but Hashem gave it to them to control. So Hashem is almost like the employee, and we're the boss, so he stands in our presence, kivyachol. Okay, we get it. We get why by a Dayan, Hashem stands and the Dayanim sit. What do we want to know now? What does it have to do with Avravinu? So now we answer the other question. We're stuck with the previous thing. So what does that do with Bris Mila? So this is unbelievable. I heard this in a shir from Rabbi Hartman. It's not in the footnotes, but he said this over. Rabbi Hartman had a lot of shemesh by Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, passed away a few years ago. One of the greatest Balei Machshava of the past generation. So Moshe Shapiro used to quote, you have it in the second to last source on the page, a comment of the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Sefer Yetzirah. Very interesting comment. He notes that the Lashon that we say when we make a bris means covenant, correct? So what's a covenant? That when two sides come together and make an agreement, they join together, right? So we call that a bris, yes? Coming together and making a covenant, making a deal is a bris. How do we refer to making a bris? We do it in English also, I'll tell you in a second. Krisas bris, correct? What does krisas mean? What does kares mean? To be cut off, correct? We do this in English. You cut a deal. You cut a deal, right? Krisas bris. We cut a deal. We cut a covenant. So, aren't those two words? It's an oxymoron. The two words don't go together. Bris means come together and join, merge. Krisas means cut apart, separate. So which one is it? So Rashi already spoke about this in last week's Parsha. Rashi said the way they used to make a bris, you would cut an animal in half, one on half on one side, half on the other side, and you'd walk through. That's what Rashi says. But the Vilna Gaon says something amazing. He says, how do you show someone that you want to be together forever? How do you show someone that you really care about them? How do you show someone you really love them, even when you can't always be together? What do you do? So Mashal Ma'ad Avadoma, someone just showed me they have one of these. I didn't know they really do this, except for the movies. But you know those necklaces that are only half complete? And it's like a heart, it's like half a heart, and then there's someone else who has the other half of the heart? So someone just showed me this, that he has one with his wife. I thought those were only in like Hallmark movies. We got friendship bracelet, right? Those type of things, exactly. But the point is, you give something to someone else, they're going to be separate from you. They're going to be far away, or they're going to be at work during the day, whatever the case might be. You're not always going to be together, but you always have something from them. And even if it's not that, even if it's, a memento, something that's sentimental to you, the way you show someone you love them and you're always going to be with them is that even if I can't be with you, I'm going to give something of myself to you. You hold on to that, and in that way, I'll always be with you in some level, in some sense. It's true. On a practical level, I'm giving up part of myself. But when I give up part of myself to someone else, I'm connecting to them in a deep way, and that's a connection that will last through the thing that I give to them, through the Mesira that I give over to them. So it's Krisas Bris. In order to really connect to someone, there needs to be a Krisa. There needs to be a Mesira. There needs to be giving over of something, a sacrifice of something on your part to the other person. That creates the lasting connection. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to this, Avraham Avinu, you just made the ultimate connection with me. Bris Mila. It's the Bris. What did Avram do a bris? He made a pretty big sacrifice. He took something off of his body. It was painful for him. And he gave it over. And he gave it up. And he said, now I'm making the relationship with Hashem a krisas bris. He sacrificed something from himself, gave it to Hashem, and in that way created a lasting relationship. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in also. I'm in on this deal. I want in on this relationship. How does he show that he's in on it? How is he going to show that he's also part of the relationship? Has to make a bris, but where's the krisa? What's he going to give? Answer, mishpat. Says Hashem, in this specific moment, when you've already shown me that you're so committed to the relationship, you're going to give up of yourself, you're going to give something to me, and we're going to have a bond over that. Says Hashem, I come to visit, I accept the relationship, and I give you something back. I'm going to give you mishpat. I'm going to give you justice. My ultimate possession that ends in my domain uniquely. It's mine to judge. It's mine to do justice. It's mine to show mishpat. But I'm going to hand that over to you. That's a krisas bris from the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Maharal says, that's the idea of yeshiva and amida, that Hashem stands because he puts it into our domain and we're in charge now of the mishpat. But that's also why he comes right now to say that message. Because now, when Avraham Avinu just already said his side, I'm in, I'm part of the deal, I'm cutting the deal with you. Krisas bris, I'm going to give you a part of me, I'm going to sacrifice for the relationship, says Hashem, me too. Here's mishpat, here's judgment. Your children, for all generations, your descendants, will have this gift. It'll be a sign of our relationship, and to show that it's really in our domain, Hashem says, I'm going to stand, and the judges are going to sit. We're not going to spend too much time on page number two, but maybe just briefly to show you what they're about, and this way you could look at them at home. The Maharal comments, you have in source number two in the beginning, the Pasuk says, Vayar Lot Vayakum Lakrasam in the Maisa with Stone. So Lot sees these potential guests and he runs to bring them into his house. So Rashi comments, it seems like Lot's this big Baal Chesed, he's bringing people into his home, he's doing Achnasas Orchim. So Rashi quotes, why did Lot do this? Mi Beis Avram Lamad Lachzor Ala Orchim. What's Rashi trying to explain over here? They learned it from Av Avinu. What if he didn't learn from Av Avinu? Okay, so he's a big Baal Chesed. What's the difference? So the Sifsei Chachamim and Maharal, each in their own way, they point out Lot was a Rasha. Lot was a bad guy. So it stands out that he was doing a mitzvah here. It's unique that he was trying to do Hachnas Zorchim. So Rashi's saying, why was Lot the Rasha who really was only being saved because of Avram's merit, because of Avram's zuchios? Why was Lot, this wicked guy, doing a mitzvah? Where did that come from? So Rashi explains, Mi beis Avram lamad lachzor ala orchim. Rashi says, he learned it from Avram. He spent a lot of time by Avram Vinu. He saw a lot of Hachnas Zorchim. So he carried on that Masorah and used to be Machnas Orchim as well. The Maharal here comments in Osvav, you have it in the third source, in source number two. The Maharal comments, Elmi beis Avram lama, this didn't come from him, this wasn't internally motivated. Va'hergal al kol davar shilton. Lot was a bad guy. It's not that he had one mitzvah that he kept. He was a bad guy, but in actions, he saw Avram Avinu for so many years doing Hachnas Zorchim that at some point it sticks. At some point that kind of thing just sticks. You see it enough, you do it enough, it becomes hergal. It becomes the way you do things. It's routine. It's routinized. That's just the way I do things. I machnas orchim because I lived by Avram. You know, that's what he did. Not because I care about the mitzvah. Not because it's meaningful to me. Because that's what I saw. Monkey see, monkey do. So he was a wicked guy. He didn't really have his chus and his merit. But he did it. He did it anyways because that's what he saw. That's what he learned at home. The Maharal in Parshas B'Shalach, Rabbi Hartman cross-references this. In Parshas B'Shalach, he says the same thing. Klal Yisrael, by Kriyas Yamsuf, they daven to Hashem. They cry out to Hashem. So Rashi comments, Tafsu umnas abosam. They grabbed on to the work, to the profession that their forefathers used to do, meaning tefillah. We started davening the way our forefathers davened. So Maharal says, this is the Klal Yisrael that's complaining they want to go back to Mitzrayim. That's scared of the Egyptians. They're not really the Balei Emunah that we think of at this moment. Not until Kriyas Yamsuf happens are they fully Balei Emunah. So what are they doing davening? Says Maharal, and that's what Rashi's telling us. Tafsu umnas abosam. The Jewish people didn't feel close to Hashem. They didn't feel inspired necessarily. They didn't feel like it was a time to daven be'es tzara. But tafsu umnas avosam. They realized, you know, what did the Tata do when he was scared? What did Avram Avinu do when he was scared? What did the forefathers do? They davened. It may not be meaningful to me right now. I may be in a complaining stage. I may be in the wrong place. But daven, that's what the Jews do. Minag avoseyem biyadeyem. So the Maharal, two important points come out of this Maharal. First of all, everything we do has an impact on the people around us and vice versa. Every person we're around, it has an impact on us also. Lot was a Rasha, and even so he was Machnas Orchim for the rest of his life because he lived near Avram Avinu. What we do impacts the people around us, even if it seems like it's the farthest chance that they would possibly impact. Lot, a bad guy, did this amazing mitzvah for the rest of his life because he witnessed it by Avram Avinu. And the opposite is true as well. If we're around the right people, we'll learn the right things. And if we're around the wrong people, Rachman Al-Tzlan, just the opposite. Oy l'Rasha, oy l'Shcheina, tov l'tzadik, tov l'Shcheina. Our surroundings make a difference. But the other thing that's so important, again, from the learning side and from the teaching side, is that unless we explain, unless we teach the meaning behind something, if we're just doing things by rote, then our children see the mitzvos as actions. Lot saw the mitzvah of Hachnas Zorchim as something you do. It wasn't a mitzvah to him. It didn't matter to him. He did it because that's what you do in Avram's house. But if we take the time to explain the steps, to say why we're motivated to do something, what it means to us to do something, how we're going to do it, how you can do it when you're older, we teach our children, we teach our students, we teach our families how to perform these mitzvahs, why they're performing these mitzvahs, what these mitzvahs really mean, then we can accomplish a chinuch that's not just a lot, that he does things because of hergel, because it's by rote, because it's by nature, but rather because they're actually motivated to do so by the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and by the meaning of Torah and mitzvahs to them. Okay, source number three, you'll look at on your own time over Shabbos. It's a worthwhile source to read. Until then, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, and I will mirtz shem bli neder. See you back next week.